Hello, my friends. I hope you're all out there having a good afternoon. And as always, if you are driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. If you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Find Your Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. We had some good questions last week, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt, retirement, or money and how it relates to your lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the number is 800-732-6458. Or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. Before we get started today, let me wish my mother, Joanne, and my granddaughter, Jordan, a happy birthday. They were both born on January 13th, which makes this a great day every year for us. I love you both dearly, and I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. Please be safe today and have a good one. You know, my goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt. And I know that some of you are paying your bills and getting by, and some of you are hurting. In either case, it is so important that you become debt-free. You see, our country is in trouble financially. And I'm not just talking about government debt. I'm talking about our personal debt load. Let me explain the situation that we've gotten ourselves into. Let's look all the way back to 1954. If you added every penny that was owed that year, our national government debt, our local government debt, all corporate debt, plus all of our personal debt, including mortgages, it totaled up to be $585 billion. $585 billion. Now, I realize this is an enormous amount of money, and most of us, we cannot even comprehend how much this is. But if you think about it, if you were to take the Walmart family, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and a handful of other rich people, we could amass this much in personal wealth. So when you think of it like that, and compare it to all the debt that was owed in the entire United States of America, then $585 billion don't sound like quite as big of a number as it did when I first mentioned it. Now, where I'm going with this is so shocking that it hurts me to even have to talk about it on the radio. And you know, if it was just Teresa and I, we have lived a long life, and we can tough our way and work our way through most anything that can be thrown at us. But you see, we brought these kids in this world. We have 3 children and 8 grandchildren. And I know that you have children and grandchildren. And I know that you're just like us, that we would lay our lives down gladly for our children with no questions asked. And I know this sounds serious, and I know this sounds heavy, but our country is in bad financial shape. I'm going to start here with some numbers, some math, and I want you to try to realize just exactly what I'm talking about and just realize what kind of situation we're in and the vital importance for us to become debt-free. Do you have any idea how much $1 trillion is? Or actually, let's just use $1 trillion first. Let's use the number trillion. All right, $1 trillion has 12 zeros. That don't make much sense to us. But see, this number is so big that it seems almost impossible. If you look at $1 trillion in time, and when I say time, I'm talking about using seconds, not minutes or hours, seconds. If you snap your finger, that's a second. Now listen to this. 1 million seconds equals 12 years. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. So if you were 62 years old, you have lived for 2 billion seconds. Now guess how long a trillion seconds is. What would you think about 31,688 years? That is absolutely amazing to me. And when we look at how much a trillion is when we relate it to money, $1 trillion, to spend or pay back $1 trillion, it would take $1 million a day, 365 days a year, for 2,741 years, 741 years before Christ. I know this amount of money is just like it is to me. It's so hard for you to fathom. In fact, it's so hard that evidently our own government don't realize how much it is. Because if they did, they wouldn't continue to spend like they are. And I didn't mean to get off course on this, so I'm going to get back to the point. But our government needs to stop spending money. Now let's go back to the question of how important is it for all the citizens of this country to work on getting out of debt. Listen to this. You might need to pull over if you're driving, or sit down if you're listening at home. As of year end 2009, we, the people, the consumers of the United States of America, owed on consumer debt, including mortgages, are you ready for this? $13.7 trillion. dollars. Let me say it one more time. $13.7 trillion with a T. Remember when I started this segment, I stated that in 1954, we owed, when I say we owed, I mean every dollar that was owed in the entire United States of America was $585 billion with a B. Government, personal, everything. Now, in just 54 short years, we have amassed $13.7 trillion of personal debt. For us to pay this back, it will take $1 million a day, 365 days a year, for 37,534 years to pay it back. That's right, 37,534 years. If I were to add the government debt totals to this, it would be so unbelievable that we just want to throw in the white towel and give up. So let's just focus on what we can do. We can do something about it ourselves. We the people, you and I, we can control our lives and we can become debt free. If we can just focus on our own lives, take care of our own responsibilities, we can make this happen. Now let me talk about debt for just a minute. I've been helping people get out of debt since 1994, and it amazes me to hear people say that I don't have any debt. And when I look at their information, they have a mortgage, a second mortgage, two car payments, and 11 credit cards. Now, this has happened to me dozens and dozens of times. I will ask the individual why they told me they didn't have any debt, and they respond back with something like this. Well, we really don't. We can pay our bills. We aren't behind. We really don't have any debt. This just blows me away because they think that they're not behind. If they're able to meet their monthly obligations, they honestly think that they don't have debt. Well, let me tell you what the definition of debt is. If you owe interest to anyone, you have debt. Now, some so-called experts, they will tell you that there is good debt and there is bad debt. I've never been able to figure this out. The math don't add up. People also tell me that they're keeping their mortgage for the tax write-off. Once again, the math don't add up. It is imperative that you pay off everything that you own and do it as soon as you possibly can. And I sure hope you'll listen to me about this. Well, let's change gears now and take some phone calls and see what you have going on.
All right, we got a call on line one, and somebody holding, and these people have tried to hold their questions for a week, so you need to be prepared. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ray. I've got a question for Steve about my 401k.
Okay, Ray, what kind of question you got, buddy?
Well, I've lost about 45% of my 401k through the stock market. And I was wondering if at this time would it be best to just leave my money set? Or is there somewhere I could actually put it and it'd be safe to maybe get some of that money back before I retire in 9 years?
Well, you just answered that question. You retire in 9 years, so you're still employed with the company that has the 401k. So what you would do is to be real cautious. Right now, the market appears to be up. I don't really trust it. 80% of the money that's going into the stock market right now is actually financial institutions, which means it's banks actually investing in their own stuff. So that doesn't sound very honest to me. But right now, the market is up a little bit. So what I want you to do is to be real careful and pay attention. And while the market is up, okay, go ahead and stay because you're making back a little bit of what you lost. Okay, but then if you see any changes, and if you listen to our show each week, we'll try to keep you up on this. But if you see any changes, what you want to do with your 401k then is you want to put your money into the fixed account, the most secure account in the 401k that you possibly can. Make sure that you don't take any chances. And once again, this is something you need to pay attention to because you've made a little bit of it back. And if you don't pay attention, you will wind up when the market hits and when the market goes back down again, you're going to take a bath again. So pay attention to that. Does that make sense?
So I guess if I see the market start taking a little dive again, I should try to pull back
and put it in a conservative and in a good safe place. And any 401k, they should have basically like a fixed account for you to put it into. Maybe it'll be called a money market account, but you want to put that money somewhere so that when the market goes back down, that you're not going to take a bath with it. And see, a lot of people have a misconception of if you lost 45% last year, you'll actually have to earn 90% to get back to where you were before.
Mm-hmm.
90%. And then one other thing, let me tell you also, you said this is Ray. Listen, Ray, also make sure that when you leave that company, you also take the money with you, because the 401k don't technically belong to you.
Okay.
Okay, just make sure you roll that money somewhere else and put it in your name where you own and control it.
Okay.
Okay, and just...
Well, actually, I'm self-employed.
Okay. Okay. If you're self-employed, then you're in control of it in the first place. And I tell you what, just call in here to the radio show and get my information, or either go to the Financial Framework seminar website. And if you need some help with that, I can help you, or you know, or talk to your financial advisor. But you need some since you have control of that, you can actually move the money and do whatever you wanted to do with the money. So
okay,
but just get with us if we can help you.
I will do that.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, sir.
For listening.
Bye.
This is the Financial Framework Show, your own with Steve Barfield.
Yes, my name is Clarence. I have a sort of an interesting question. Since the housing market is starting to come back a little bit, but there's still a lot of good deals out there, what should one consider before actually purchasing a house, whether or not they can do it or not?
Well, are you talking about a house, Clarence, for you to live in?
Yes.
Or okay, what you know, it really depends on your financial situation. You know, how much money you have saved, how much you have set aside for emergencies. You really need to you need to think about it, and it is the time to buy because the prices are so low. But you really need to have all your financial ducks in a row, because the last thing in the world you'd want to do is to buy the house and not be able to keep the house. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you want to use your head on that. You want to save some money. I mean, do you have something in particular you're looking at now?
Well, nothing in particular. It's just that because of the opportunities, I was thinking about maybe looking around and trying to decide if there was something out there that was right for us. But before I got too far into that, I wanted to have sort of an idea of what I needed to consider so that I was now committing myself to something and not really being in a position to do that.
Well, let me ask you, do you have other debts such as credit cards and car payments and things already? Or
yes.
And you're renting currently?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you really need to do a budget. You need to look at all your expenses and see what you can afford per month. Because once again, you know, if you can qualify for a house and have a down payment for a house, the last thing in the world you'd want to do is lose that house. So, you know, you really need to get yourself in a good situation. If you'll go to the Financial Framework Seminar website, okay, which that's what it is, Financial Framework Seminar website, and if you look there, there's a lot of calculators there that you can actually do some math on, and we also have the plan that can actually show you how to get your credit cards and the other debts paid off. So go to the website and take a look and see if anything there can help you in your planning to buy the house. Because owning your home, owning your own home, that is the American dream, and that's exactly what you want to do. You want to do that as soon as you can, but you want to do it smart.
Great. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, sir. Thank you for calling.
All right, this is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Steve, you got anything that's anything else that's on your mind that concerns people right now?
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff on my mind, and it all relates to money and families.
And saving money and getting everything paid off, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, we're kind of up against a break right now, so we'll be back with more of the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield after we have this break here on the Big Double A. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, this is Judy, and I had a question about debt for Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a lot of, between me and my husband, we have a lot of credit cards, and I wanted to get his opinion about getting a second mortgage and paying off the credit cards.
Well, that's a great question. I hope that hope everybody's listening on this one, because it's really important. Judy, I want you to listen to this really good.
Okay.
Okay, you should never, ever, ever swap unsecured debt for secured debt.
What does that mean exactly?
Okay, what that means exactly is that your credit cards, whenever you filled out your applications, you just simply sent it in, and based on your credit score, they approved it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you bought your house, okay, the mortgage company or bank that lent it to you, lent the money to you, what they did is they put your house as security, meaning that if you don't pay your house, then they can actually foreclose on it.
that makes sense.
The credit cards, okay, there's nothing holding it securely. It's just, it was just basically like a personal loan from the bank to you. Okay, so if you were to, if you have credit card debt, and if you were to take a second mortgage out or home equity line of credit for the mortgage, I mean, to pay off these credit cards, then what happens then is if you were to get into trouble, all right, and you weren't able to make that first mortgage payment and the second mortgage payment, then you would actually have the potential of losing your home. All right. Now, are you current with your credit cards now, or you must be if you can do a second mortgage?
I am. I am, and I'm paying a little extra towards each one each month to try to get the balances down some.
Okay. Well, and that's a good thing. Now, let me tell you what you want to do on that.
Okay.
You want to take, and you have to pay attention to this, because if you listen to the radio show each week, the credit card companies and banks, they're absolutely dishonest, okay? And they're going to mess around with you. They're going to change your interest rates. They're going to change their payment addresses. I mean, they're going to do everything they can do to you to charge you fees.
I believe it. They've bumped up a lot of them up till 29% right now.
Well, and you're lucky they haven't gone farther than that, and it's only because you still have good credit,
okay?
But I want you to take... I want you to take the additional money that you're putting out each month on those credit cards. And I'm just going to use some examples here. Let's say that you had five credit cards and you were going to put $50 a month on each one of them, try to pay them off early. Well, instead of taking that $50 a month per credit card, I want you to take the whole $250 and I want you to attack one credit card at a time.
What does that mean exactly?
Okay, what that means exactly is, in fact, let's just go ahead and ask, how many credit cards do you have?
11.
Well, the average family has 10 or 11, so you're right.
I don't feel so bad then.
What's that now?
I said, I don't feel so bad then.
No, you actually, you're right around average, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you do then, is, and how much money are you sending in per month on those credit cards?
Not much, just about $25 extra on each.
Okay, well, that's about $325, and that's really a good thing. Okay, so what I want you to do is to pick out one that actually has the smallest balance. Now, in our system, if you go to the website when you get a chance, our system actually will lay those out for you and tell you exactly which ones to pay off first.
Mm-hmm.
But since you don't have the system in your hand right now, take the one that can be paid off the fastest. And apply all $350 to it.
Okay, that would almost pay it off.
Okay, well then, the payment that was going to that credit card and the $350 added together, then I want you to take that and I want you to hit the next one in line.
Okay.
And one by one by one, I want you to work on paying these things off.
And just go from the least to the most
right,
that you owe
right,
and pay them all off in a row, right?
Right. And if you don't have a system, see, knowing exactly which ones to do, just take the ones with the smallest balance.
So, okay? And then I would, the next smallest balance, and do it like that. Okay.
Right. And you pay the minimum payments on the others, but be real careful and watch those minimum payments because they're going to raise those payments. They're going to.
And make sure you make at least the minimum payments
on those. Okay. Now, it's really important to have the discipline to keep that money, and when that money when you pay off that first credit card, add that payment and the $325 together and hit the next one in line.
Okay.
And track this stuff each and every month. Now, let me tell you this also, and this is not necessarily for you, but if people out there have credit cards and they wind up really struggling to pay their debts,
mm-hmm.
It's really important that they pay their mortgage payment and their car payments first, the secured debts first. Because, see, the question you asked me about taking the second mortgage out, if you were to do a second mortgage, like I said, and get in trouble, you would really be in trouble, and you would wind up losing your house. But if you were to wind up in trouble with those credit cards, you can just simply send them what they'll accept, and you don't lose your house at the same time.
I've never really thought about it that way before, but you're right. I just have so many creditors. I thought it'd just be easier to write one check instead of 11, but it's not worth the risk of losing my house.
No, ma'am, it's not. You should never ever swap unsecured debt for secured debt. And like I said, on the Financial Framework website, there's a place there to do a blueprint, and if you can find a church in your area that's actually holding a course, you would really enjoy that.
Where do you live, Judy?
I live in Dallas, Georgia.
In Dallas? Well, you have some churches over in Dallas, Georgia that you're working with, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. In fact, Fortified Hills Baptist Church.
Okay, I know exactly where that's at.
Okay, so just go to that church and you can...
You can go to there and enroll in the Financial Framework Seminar.
Yeah,
and they teach all of this stuff in the seminar, Judy.
Wonderful. Let me ask you one quick question. I know you have to go, but what do I not tackle the high interest rate credit cards first?
Well, that's what a lot of people on TV talk about. But the interest rates is really, it's probably one of the third or fourth different factors. The monthly payment, the balance, and how long you own it really and truly is the most effective ways. That's why we do the blueprint in the seminar, because it is a system. It does actually show the most effective way to pay those off.
Okay, so in order to get the most effective way and the quickest way out of debt, I need to go to this system. What exactly is the website?
Okay, it is the one I talk about at the front of the show and after the show each week for everybody listening. It's www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That's www.financialframeworkseminar.com.
And mention to Judy that once she does the blueprint, she'll actually know when she gets out of debt.
Yeah, you'll know the exact month and year you'll be debt-free.
Wow, I'm scared to look at that.
Well, you'll know that.
Well, actually, it gives you hope, Judy. Once you've gone through the seminar and gone through the blueprint, then you can look forward to that date where you'll be out of debt completely.
Oh, if I follow the system debt, not what I'm currently at right now.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay, that's called a reality check. I didn't want to see, but I would love to see when I could possibly be out of debt. Well, thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
This is Steve Barfield and the Financial Framework Show. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Don, and I got a question for Steve.
Hey, Don.
I've been trying to get my credit cards under control, and I've been trying to figure out how to pay them out. I'm trying to do the snowball thing.
Right.
I'm just having one heck of a time trying to figure out actually how to get them to go.
Right. Well, there's four factors, Don, when it comes to paying out debt, and that is your monthly payment, your balance, your interest rate, and then how long you owe on those debts. Okay. The snowball theory, I mean, any of these things will work, and the snowball theory works if you can figure out exactly how to like you said, how to do it each month. But what you need is you need to, just like Judy, the lady that called a minute ago, you need to go to the website. I hate to keep putting people to the website, but see, a system has been built that actually can take your credit cards and your other debts and put them into the proper order. It'll take all four of those factors. Remember, those four factors are, once again, the monthly payment, the balance, the interest rate, and how long you owe on them. Okay, and the system itself is actually was created to do the multiplication of all your debts times those four factors and give you the most efficient way. Now, let's say that you don't have time or don't want to go do that. Well, the snowball deal, you would want to take the smallest balance, and you try to do this each and every month. You look at your statements as they come in, and you would take the smallest balance. And like I said to Judy a minute ago, if you were listening, is when you finally pay one of those off, you want to make sure you add that money to the next worst debt in line. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have I been able to help you there any?
It makes sense.
But you
think that's the best thing to do is really just to start with the smallest balance, pay that off, and payment to the next worst one.
Right, on the credit card.
And you're hitting the principal instead of the interest on that, but... having a system, once again, that's why in the Financial Framework Seminar we have the blueprint, which has all this laid out for people, so there's nothing for you to figure out on your own each month, because I know it's hard. But, you know, one thing that I want to tell you is not to give up. In any way that you're trying to pay these things off, if you're determined at it, even if it's not the most efficient way, you can do it as long as you don't give up on it. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Because you can, you know, if a person needs to lose weight, if they get committed to it and start walking and watch what they eat, and it really is sort of humorous to me, because a lot of times you'll hear, or if you watch TV and you'll see these people selling these vitamin things to make you lose weight. You know, take these and lose weight. But if you look at the fine print underneath all those ads, it says sensible diet and exercise.
You always got to go on a diet, and you got to exercise in addition to that.
And if you do that, you don't need those pills.
Really?
Right. So the deal is, when it comes to getting out of debt, the snowball theory is a good one. There's a lot of theories out there. As long as you work towards getting out of debt, you can pretty much find a way. But here again, in the Financial Framework Seminar, we did take it all the way to laying it out exactly what to do. I've been doing this for 15 years, and we have it all figured out as far as getting out of debt.
That's interesting. I'll have to go check out the website.
Okay. I appreciate that. Anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it, but thank you very much.
Okay, buddy, thank you.
Thank you, Don.
And, you know, and talking about debt the questions that we answer each week on the radio, another thing I would like to talk just a minute about is children and money. Because getting out of debt is, it's something you should set your goal, your mind, you should make your mind up to be out of debt. And your family, they have to be involved in this process. And this is a little exercise that I want you to try to do. Now, if you are current on your debts, all right, this is what I want you to do. If you're not current on your debts, I don't want you to pay attention to this, okay? But if you're making ends meet and you're able to pay your bills on a monthly basis, what I want you to do is I want you, every time you pay your bills, whether it's weekly, biweekly, or monthly, whenever it is, I want you to call the entire family together. Children from about maybe even 6, 7, 8 years old, up until any of them living at home, should be involved in this process. If you're behind, the reason I wouldn't want you to do this is because children have enough to worry about, and if they have to start worrying about not having enough money for the family to survive, you know, that's just not a good thing. But if you're able to float by and you're making ends meet, then what you do then is you have the children and the wife, everybody sit down at the table. Now, the way the process works is you open up the envelopes, you open up the electric bill, and you pass it around. And for the kids that can't really read yet, if you have smaller children there, you talk about how much the electric bill is. All right, and you want to start off with how much the check is, how much money you have actually to pay these bills, and you want to list them out, and you make this a family affair. And if you'll start doing this, and if you'll do this on a weekly basis and a monthly basis, you will see just in a matter of a few months that your children will leave a whole lot less lights on. They'll start asking for a whole lot less stuff. And what this does, it might sound like punishment to your kids, but what it's doing is actually teaching your kids about money in a real life way, meaning that when they get married and get out on their own, then they will have an idea of what to expect and what's going to happen. And then hopefully they will also do their children the same exact way. They will get them involved in paying the bills. I hope this makes sense to you. And once again, that is a real, real good exercise that we have here for kids. Now, another thing too is when it comes to kids and money, this is something that we focused on early on in our marriage, and I don't know, you know, I guess it just was a God thing is why we had enough sense to do this. But we really, when raising kids, we realized real early that a heart is what you wanted to build, and the best way in the world to build a child's heart is to see you and your husband or wife, the family, giving. That's what's important. We want to really focus on the heart of the children. I see we have some calls now, so let's take these calls.
All right, let's go back to the phone line.
Good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Yeah, this is Dan. And, Steve, my brother's got an unusual situation I want to talk about for a second, if I could.
Yes, sir.
He has been out of work for about 9 or 10 months, and prior to that, he had to refinance his home to pay some bills.
Right.
And with the drop in the home market, he probably can't sell his house now for what he owes on the house. And was wondering if he should just let it go to foreclosure and rent something, or.
Well, I mean, is he out of work and, I mean, just totally destitute now, or?
Oh, he's doing okay. He's hanging in there. He's probably got $15,000 to $20,000 in savings, but.
Well, what I would do, I would never ever suggest anybody to let a house go back unless it just was just the last thing in the world to do, because the housing market is going to come back. I don't know how far, how long it'll take to do that, but if he has money in savings still, and if he can still keep putting one foot in front of the other, that's what I would do. I would not advise him to get rid of his house, because if you sell a house like that, Dan, then what happens is you wind up paying somebody else's rent or somebody else's mortgage payment instead of your own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me.
Because you can't just, you know, people have to live somewhere. And whenever you're not in a position to own a house and you're paying somebody else's rent, which is a good message to the other listeners today. You know, if you are renting, you know, we need to get you in a position so that you're paying your own mortgage.
Okay. Well, and the house he's in, too, is very old, and it needs upkeep and stuff. So.
Yeah, but I still, you know, it's his, and the way the banks now are not lending money. And let me get a little technical with you on the bank deal. The Federal Reserve itself, in fact, we've got a commercial break coming up now. Can you hang on a minute, Dan?
I can.
Okay, hang on, please.
Thanks.
You had something you wanted to explain to him before we went to break there.
Well, the main thing is for somebody just tuning in is Dan's situation. He has a brother that has a house that needs repair and has a little money left in savings. And the question was whether or not he should get rid of the house and rent. And of course, the answer to the question was to make sure that you hang on to the house at all. Everything you can do to hang on the house. And before we took the break, we were talking about that the banks themselves are not lending money. And the reason for that is right now the Federal Reserve, which is not part of our government, is the bank where they print our money. And what happens there is our banks now are borrowing money from the Federal Reserve at 0%, and then the banks are buying Treasury bills at a guaranteed 3.8%. So if they can get a guaranteed 3.8%, then they're not going to lend it to us, which could not pay.
They don't have an incentive to lend it to us.
They don't have an incentive at all. So.
Because they can make that 3.8%
without any
risk. Any problem.
Yep. So anyway, so where I'm going with that is if you've got a house, do everything in the world you can do to keep it. And Dan, that's exactly what your brother should do. Is everything in the world he can do to keep it.
Steve, I thank you for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate you hanging on there, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Now, let me finish some of this stuff on this kid stuff. It's been on my mind a lot lately, but the heart of a child, if you can develop a big heart in a child, and once again, I'm not giving you lessons on how to raise children, but early on, we figured this out, and what we would do is, especially at Christmas time, we would find a family that needed some assistance, and we would take even some of our children's Christmas money that was allotted for that, and we would actually buy the Christmas for the children, and we would take our whole family to the people's houses and deliver the gifts and things, and we started this early on with our kids, and then after my kids became adults and moved on, the more I studied Dad and the more I thought about things, some more exercises and things that actually came to me was to take your children, and everybody needs to be saving money, and have the children, as they get their allowances and as they cut grass and as they babysit, teach these children how to tithe at least 10% of that money each week, but then have them also set aside just a little bit of that money each week into a little savings pile, and then you want to take and you want to match that money, and you want to get up somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 to $50, and then you want to go to the local grocery store that you shop at, preferably a smaller one if possible. But you what you want to do is you want to take that money that you and your children have saved up, and you want to give that money to the store manager or to one of the clerks. All right, and what this is for is for when a little girl comes up with a baby in her arm and she has a pack of diapers and maybe a pint of milk, and she puts it up on the counter. You can tell that little girl is really struggling, and without her knowing that it's you buying her groceries, the store clerk at that point would then let the little girl know to go back and get herself some food. And if you do this and your children are standing there, and of course your children is part of their money, if you do this a few times, I'm going to tell you something. Your children's hearts and the giving nature of the rest of their lives, I mean, it'll lay the foundation for it. You just wouldn't believe how this works. And children and hearts, that's a huge, huge thing that we need to work on, because I honestly feel like as society changes and the economy gets worse and worse and worse, and a lot of people are really giving up hope, that we're not putting enough heart into everything that we do, and we've got to put it into our children or we're really going to pay for it later. Like I say, you'll hear me say a lot of times that even the smallest mistakes that we make today will be magnified many times over in the future. We've got to teach kids how to care.
We've talked to Ray and Clarence, Judy, Don, and Dan today, and they've all had good questions about two or three of them were talking about their credit cards. One of them was talking about whether or not it's time to buy a house. Another one wanted to know if it's time to give one up. So
everybody has questions.
That's right.
Everybody has questions. And money will destroy families. Money is the number one cause of divorce, spousal abuse, child abuse, and suicide in our country. I mean, it is the destroyer. And as I say in the seminars often, the devil is using money now more than he's using drugs and alcohol to destroy a family. And if you think about it, he can't get into a good Christian family with drugs and alcohol. He just can't infiltrate that home. But he'll get a credit card and a second credit card and a third credit card. And before you know it, the family is head over heels in debt. Nobody runs on a budget. Nobody keeps up with their checkbook. And before you know it, tension starts to build and he has done his job. He has broken up that family.
Steve, you run these financial framework shows through a lot of churches, and you're going to Cleveland, Tennessee to talk to a church tonight, yeah, right?
It's actually North Cleveland Church of God. In fact, before we end the show here, I'll actually talk about some of the seminars that have sent their information in, but I will be in North Cleveland. I leave the radio show here in just a minute and head to North Cleveland, the North Cleveland Church of God, which is on Lee University campus.
Has Jason Slaughter's church, Rolling Hills Baptist Church, have they started their seminar yet?
I was actually supposed to talk to Jason today about the date, and I may have breakfast with his pastor on Saturday, from what I understand.
Okay.
I'll have the dates hopefully next week.
But that's gonna be here in Cedartown at the Rolling Hills Baptist Church, so you can be a part of that seminar. And then you can go on the website and see where the seminars are going to be at in other areas around in Georgia and the Southeast.
Right. Well, we had some great calls today, and I hope that I was able to give you enough good information that will have a definite impact on your lives and put you in a position to win in life. It has been my mission for a long time to educate and save our people from the bondage of debt. I hope that you will decide to be a part of this battle with me. Encourage your friends and relatives to listen to the show and be a part of Saving America. Try to locate a church that's holding a financial framework seminar in your area. I've had several churches send in their information, and let me give you a few of them on the air today, and if you will call me with your information, I will also put that information out. If you're in the Dallas, Georgia area, the Fortified Hills Baptist Church is holding a financial framework preview meetings on February the 21st at 12:15 p.m. and February 24th at 6 p.m. They're going to run the sessions two times a week, one on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. You can call 678-363-7267. That's 678-363-7267 for more information, or just show up at the preview meeting. Now, let me explain what a preview meeting is. It will last about 30 minutes, and you'll be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. Remember, the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that it takes to make your quest to become debt-free much, much easier. If you're in the Cleveland, Tennessee area listening today, the North Cleveland Church of God, located on the campus of Lee University, they're beginning the classes on January the 20th at 6:30 p.m. There will be another preview meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. If you're in the Gainesville, Florida area, the First Baptist Church of Salt Springs is beginning a seminar in February. Their dates are not listed here. If you're in the Jacksonville, Florida area, the Builders of the Faith Worship Center will begin their classes in late February. Once again, I don't have the dates, but you can contact these churches or the Financial Framework offices to get the details. If you're in Canton, Georgia, the New Life Worship Center is starting a seminar in February. And if you're in Ocala, Florida, the Trinity Baptist Church is starting the seminar in late February. Now, these are the only ones that I have seminar information on, and I'll let you know more each week as dates and times becomes available. You can go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That's www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches. But the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year you can be debt-free. The average family becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending your same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff or suffer any more than you're already suffering. Being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious as we are about saving the country from the bondage of debt, and I think you will see this once you attend the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide, tithing is down between 20 and 30%.
I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations want to give and give and give. What it is, it's a budget and debt issue. And unless you address the problem, hit it head on, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations, they need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. And once this happens, your churches, they'll be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website. If you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. And as you will hear me say often on this show, even the smallest mistakes that you make today, they will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. If you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you will see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch the Financial Framework Show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready, and let's talk them over. Remember, you now have a friend in the get-out-of-debt business. Next week will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Now, please take time to pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families, who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern-day heroes and should be treated that way. Please keep them in your prayers. And until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Tune in again next week to learn more practical solutions that will put you in control of your finances and show you how to build a strong and secure financial house.